This morning, I would like to invite you in the scriptures to look at 1 John chapter 1 with me. 1 John chapter 1. And this morning, we're going to focus our attention on just three verses, verses 5 through 7. Last week, we looked at the introduction to John's letter of 1 John. And we saw how Jesus Christ really is the main theme of his letter. He began by reminding us that Jesus is the eternal one, the one who was from the beginning, the one who came and lived in this world, who became flesh. And John, as an eyewitness, says, we saw him, we heard him, we were there with the Lord Jesus. And so John, as an eyewitness, is saying to these Christians that he's writing to and to us, we're proclaiming to you the message of God. And we are eyewitnesses of the truth of these things. And John said, we're doing this. We're proclaiming this message to you. We want you to embrace the truth of the gospel because we want to be in fellowship with you together. And we want to be in fellowship with our God together. In verse 5, John is going to begin really the substance of his message. And if you recall, a couple of weeks ago when we introduced this letter of 1 John, I mentioned that in the background of what John is writing here, you have the historical reality of a group of people who began to believe and teach false things about who Jesus was. They embraced false doctrine, and as evidenced by what John is writing here, they also embraced false living. So they embraced false doctrine and disobedient living, and over time, they left. They separated themselves from the Christian community, from the churches, and they kind of split off and formed their own group. And so they're kind of in the background of some of the things that John is saying here. And we're going to see that in verses 5 through 7. So keep that in mind as we look at these verses. Let's read these three verses together. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. John says, this is the message that we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Let's bow in prayer together. Father, we thank you for this time, for this worship hour, for this Lord's Day, and we thank you for the next few minutes that we have together to read and to think on the truth of your word. Lord, it's astounding when we stop and think about the fact that these words that we're reading are a translation of words that are about 2,000 years old. These are words that have stood the test of time, because they are your words, they're your truth. And Lord, we thank you that we have been shown grace and kindness, that we even have the opportunity to hold your truth in our hands and to read it and to study it this morning. So Lord, bless this time, and may your Spirit teach us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. John begins in verse 5 by establishing his credentials, really, to make this proclamation to these Christians. He says in verse 5, this is the message that we have heard from him and declare to you. And so John, when he says, this is the message we've heard from him, what he is saying there is he is establishing a direct link between him, John the Apostle, and the revelation of God. As he said in the first four verses, we saw Jesus. We were there with him. We saw him with our own eyes. Our ears heard him. We were firsthand eyewitnesses of the things that we're testifying to you about. We heard Jesus with our own ears. We saw him with our own eyes be crucified and hung on a tree. We saw him with our own eyes, and we touched him and heard him after he rose from the dead. We're eyewitnesses of these things. So we heard the message of Christ, which is the message of God. We heard it directly from him. Furthermore, he's saying, as an apostle, I have the authority as a chosen one of Christ to receive revelation from God, and I am fulfilling my commission to you when I pass it on to you. That is my responsibility. So he's claiming his position as an apostle here, as one who saw Christ, who heard Christ, who has direct revelation from God about what the truth is. And he's saying, this is what we are proclaiming to you. This is the truth. This is the gospel. This is the message of God. It is from the Father and about the Son and about how to know that you are in fellowship with the Father and fellowship with the Son and in fellowship with John and other Christians. This is the gospel. It is God's soul-saving, eternal life-granting gospel. And so we, as well as John's readers, we would do well to pay attention to what John is saying to us today, because this is eternal truth. And the first point that he is emphatic about in verse 5, number 1, God is pure, uncorrupted light. God is pure, uncorrupted light. He says in verse 5, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. We have just a few statements like this in the Bible, where in the scriptures it says God equals something. God is something. God is holy. God is love. God is, here, light. He is light. This is a positive, absolute statement. God is light. And to make it more emphatic as he possibly can in human language, he says, and in him, in God, there is no, never, not any darkness. Now, your English grammar teacher will tell you not to use a double negative, because in English, if you use a double negative, it's kind of like you're reversing what you're saying. So in good English doesn't use double negatives. But in Greek, double negatives are emphatic. And so if you use a double negative in Greek, you're intensifying the negative. And that's exactly what he did here. God is light, and in him there is no, never, none, darkness at all. What does he mean by light and darkness? Well, throughout the scriptures, light and darkness, one, obviously they're used in a literal sense, right? We're in terms of illumination, darkness and light. But really most often in the Bible, light and darkness are used in a metaphorical way. Several different ways. Sometimes light and darkness is the contrast between life and death. Sometimes light and darkness is the difference between good and evil behavior. Sometimes light and darkness is the contrast between truth and falsehood. Sometimes light and darkness is the contrast between God's kingdom and the devil's kingdom, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. Sometimes light is used to refer to revelation, such as God's revelation of truth, the light comes. Sometimes it's used in the sense of the glory of God manifesting itself. So light and darkness are used in a lot of different ways throughout scripture, but how is John using it here? What does he mean? I think primarily what he means is God is light in the sense of truth and righteousness. God is true and good. And in him, there is no falsehood or evil. And I think what we can see throughout the rest of 1 John, that John is primarily, throughout this whole letter, contrasting light and darkness in the sense of moral light and moral darkness, in terms of both truth and behavior. So he's going to contrast his message with the false message of those false teachers. John's message is the truth of God. Their message is darkness. He's also going to contrast walking in the truth, good behavior, with the evil, corrupt behavior of those false teachers. Again, light versus darkness. So I think he means it primarily in a moral, ethical sense. God is light. He is true and righteous, and there is no evil or falsehood in him at all. He is pure righteousness. He is holy. He is set apart. There is no evil in God. And so what he is saying then is that those who claim to be in fellowship with this God who is light should pattern their lives after the righteous character of God. God is light. He is righteous. He is truth. There is no error in him. God cannot lie. Therefore, those who claim to be in fellowship with God should also embrace the truth of God. So he begins by an affirmation of who God is. And then what he's going to do is he is going to present then a contrast based on this truth that God is light. You're either in fellowship with God who is light, or you're not in fellowship with God who is light. Number two. So number one was God is light, pure, uncorrupted light. Number two, John is teaching us in this passage that we are deceiving ourselves and others if we claim to be in fellowship with God while we are walking in darkness. We are deceiving ourselves and others if we claim to be in fellowship with God while we are walking in darkness. What does John mean by fellowship? I think what he means throughout this letter is whether or not we are Christians. To be in fellowship with God is to be a Christian. To be in fellowship with others is to be a part of his church. And so one of the things I want to emphasize that we understand here in 1 John is that when John is talking about fellowship, he is not talking about people who are Christians, but whose fellowship has been temporarily hindered by sin. Sometimes we'll talk like that. Sometimes we'll talk like, this person's a believer, this person's a Christian, but they're out of fellowship with God. I'm not saying that it's wrong to talk like that in under any circumstances, but what I'm saying is that's not how John is talking. That's not how John means it. When John is talking about being in fellowship with God or out of fellowship with God, he's talking about whether or not we are in Christ at all and whether we can have the hope of eternal life. So he's talking about whether or not we're a part of God's family. So when he says in verse number 6, if we claim to have fellowship with him, he is talking about if we claim to be Christians, if we claim to be a part of the family of God, if we claim to have our sins forgiven, if we claim to have faith in Jesus Christ, if we claim to be at peace with God and justified in his sight. That's what he means by if we claim to have fellowship with him. And so we're not talking about a strained Christian relationship between a Christian and God. We're talking about no relationship at all. A real relationship versus a one that's not there at all. And so what does John mean by then walking in darkness? He says, if we claim to have fellowship with God and yet walk in the darkness, what does he mean by that? Walk in the darkness. Well, he's contrasting light and darkness. Light is truth and righteousness. Darkness is falsehood and evil, right? So walking in darkness is living a life that is characterized by sin and disobedience to the commands of Christ. Also, if the contrast between light and darkness is a contrast between truth and falsehood, then walking in the darkness is to embrace beliefs or ideas that are contrary to the revealed gospel message of Jesus Christ. To walk in darkness is to depart from the faith once held by the saints for all time. John says later in this letter, 1 John 2:8-11, that darkness is passing away. And the world and its desires are passing away. In his gospel, John 3:19, we read it earlier in our service this morning. Men loved darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. So what does it mean to walk in darkness? To walk in darkness means to be rejecting the truth and living a life of sin. Disobeying God. So walking in darkness keeps one from honestly saying that they're in fellowship with God. That's what he's saying in verse 6. If anybody, claims to have fellowship with God and yet is walking in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. What are the implications of this? You cannot claim to be a Christian if you have denied fundamental truths of the Christian faith. He's going to emphasize that throughout this whole letter. He's going to make claims about who Jesus is. Jesus is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. He is the divine Word who became flesh and dwelt among us. He is truly human in the flesh, Son of Man, as well as Son of God. You cannot deny any of these truths about who Jesus is and still claim to be in fellowship with God. Also, what John is going to teach us in this letter is that you cannot claim to be a Christian if your life is characterized by sin. Repeated, unconfessed, unfought against sin. The scriptures call believers to make war with sin. Colossians 3 tells us to mortify or to put to death the remnants of sin in our thoughts, words, and deeds. Someone who is not battling sin and is allowing sin, kind of like weeds, to overrun their lives, has no basis on which to claim that they are Christians. So John here, when he says, if we claim to have fellowship with God, but are living a lie, either in terms of what we believe or in terms of what we practice, then we have no legitimate claim to make that profession. If your claim does not match reality, either in truth or in righteous behavior, then you're lying to God, to others, and to yourself. So the second point was, we are deceiving ourselves and others if we claim to be in fellowship with God while we are walking in darkness. Number three, walking in the light with God provides assurance that we are in fellowship with God, with other believers, and that our sins have been forgiven. Walking in the light with God provides assurance that we are, in fact, in fellowship with Him and that our sins have been forgiven. That's what he's telling us in verse 7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. Walking in truth and obedience gives certainty to the claim that we have fellowship with God. In verse number 7, John says, if we walk in the light. So if walking in darkness means embracing falsehood or living in sin, then what does walking in the light mean? Walking in the light means embracing truth, believing in the truth of the gospel and its implications then lived out in your life in terms of behavior. Now, I just want to make clear. Am I talking about perfection? No, I'm not. I'm not talking about perfection. There's not a single one of us in this room who can claim to have arrived in terms of perfect obedience to the commands of Christ. In fact, in this letter, John is going to say in verse 8, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So even John himself, he's not talking about perfection. What is he talking about? He's talking about a direction. He's talking about movement. He's talking about a pattern of life. Someone who is in the light is seeking to walk on the path that Jesus Christ walked. Yes, there will be stumbles. Yes, we will sometimes fall off the path. But a Christian who is walking in the light is someone who, as soon as possible, will seek to get back on that path and head in the right direction. But if someone is just, you know, heading the wrong way and doing whatever they want to do, and there's no effort at all to fight sin in their lives, they have sin, there's unconfessed sin, unrepentant, just going off whatever they want to do. John is telling us here, there's no basis on which that person can claim fellowship with God. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, so we're supposed to pattern ourselves after God's light. Peter told us, be holy as God is holy. Here, John tells us, be light because God is light. Walk in the light. And what's interesting is he says, if we walk in the light, as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with, you would expect him to say, God. But it's interesting, he says, with one another. If we walk in the light as God is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. What's he assuming there? Well, I think he's assuming what he said back in verse number 3. We're writing this to you so that you may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So when he says, if you walk in the light as God is in the light, then you have fellowship with us. He's also assuming if you have fellowship with us, you have fellowship with God. Walking in the light means fellowship with God and fellowship with other believers in Christ. And notice the end of verse 7. The blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. Now, I want to say something. I want to be as clear as I possibly can. Is John teaching us here that our being atoned, or our sins purified, or our sins forgiven, is that dependent on whether or not we are walking in the light? To say that another way, does our forgiveness from God depend on whether or not we are doing good works? No. The basis, the foundation for our atonement, the atonement for our sins, is founded in the work of Christ, the blood of Christ, not in us. So when he says, the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin, what is it that does the purifying? It's the blood of Jesus, right? The atoning death of Jesus. He's talking about the cross here. When Jesus gave up his life to the death of the cross and shed his blood as an atoning sacrifice for our sins, that is the basis on which anyone can be forgiven before God. So our being forgiven by God, our being purified from our sins is not founded in our achievements, in our good works. The atonement for sins is accomplished by the work of Christ, his shed blood on the cross. How do we receive those benefits? How are those benefits of Christ's atonement, how are they applied to us, to our account? By faith. You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. So we receive the benefits of Christ's atonement for us and the forgiveness of our sins, the purification of our sins, by faith. Repentance and faith. Turning to Christ in belief. How does this relate then to what John is telling us? I think what John is telling us here is that the reality of our faith, whether or not our faith is genuine, is substantiated by the presence of faith producing righteousness in our lives. So our works do not purify us. The blood of Christ purifies us from sin. But what is it that gives us certainty or assurance that we are in fact in Christ and that our profession to be in Christ is real and we're not just deceiving ourselves? It's whether or not we're walking in the light as God is in the light. It's what John says in 1 John 5:13, his whole purpose in writing. I'm writing these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. So he's writing to people who claim belief, right? I'm writing to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, and I'm writing to give you knowledge, confidence that you have eternal life. So I think what John is teaching us here is that if righteousness and truth are not present in our lives, it puts in doubt the genuineness of our faith. And if the genuineness of our faith is in doubt, then so is the claim that our sins have been forgiven by the blood of Christ. So there is no fault at all in the blood of Christ. The fault may be with us and our self-deception. If we are, as James says in James 1, those who hear the word but don't do it. So it's very possible for us to be self-deceived and think that we're in the faith, but there's no evidence of it because we're not believing what is right and we're not living what is right. As James says in James chapter 2, faith without works is dead. So I think the main idea of these three verses is that we have no basis for claiming that we are in fellowship with God or that our sins have been forgiven if we're not walking in the light. Now, remember, what's in the background here? What's in the background of why John is writing this letter? In the background are these false teachers, right? These false teachers who split off, who went their own way. They've abandoned some truths. And in their lives, they're showing evidence of wickedness and evil doing. So when John says in verse number 6, if we claim to have fellowship with him, I think he is using some words of those who separated off. In fact, there are three claims in these few verses here in chapter 1. Verse 6 says, if we claim to have fellowship with him, I think that's a claim that these false teachers were making. We're claiming to have fellowship with Christ. Verse 8, if we claim to be without sin. So apparently these false teachers thought that they were sinless. Verse 10, if we claim that we have not sinned. So he's taking these claims of the false teachers, and I think what he's doing in these verses is he is counter-arguing their claims. And so they're saying, we have fellowship with God. And John is saying, no, but you've abandoned the truth and you're walking a false path. And your lives show no evidence of it. Therefore, your claim is false. So I think he's writing with these false teachers in the background. But what does that mean for us? We might say, well, I'm not a false teacher. I'm not someone out there promoting a false gospel. Yes, but it's still possible for us to be self-deceived, isn't it? Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can know how deceitful and wicked the heart is? I think the implication in Jeremiah 17 is that sometimes we don't even know how deceitful and wicked our hearts can be. And here's the dangerous part about self-deception. If you are self-deceived, you don't know it. stop and think about that for a moment. If you are self-deceived, you're not aware of it. So, how can you be awakened out of that self-deception if, in fact, you are self-deceived? The only way is for the light to come and shine in your hearts from outside, from above, if you will. From God, from Christ, the word of truth, the light of the Holy Spirit, he has to illumine your mind, illumine your understanding, and reveal to you that you are in fact self-deceived and need to turn to Christ and repent. My prayer, my hope, is that the Holy Spirit will use these words of John and that we reflectively, meditatively, worshipfully, that we will examine ourselves. And here's the danger. We can start looking to other people, right? Yeah, well, this person better watch out. This person better watch out. This person's claim over here. I'm not sure about that person's claim to be in Christ. That's not what this is about. This is about looking at your own heart and seeing if, in fact, we are in Christ. And so for John, in 1 John 1, 5 through 7, here's the test. Are you walking in the light as God is in the light? Remember, I said John is going to weave some tests throughout all this letter of 1 John. Test of love, test of obedience, test of right belief. Here, I think this is kind of a mixture of test of belief and test of behavior, test of obedience, if you're walking in the light. So, is my life characterized by walking in the light of God? If not, then on what am I basing my claim that I'm in fellowship with God on? We have no basis for claiming that we're in fellowship with God if we're not walking in the light. So may the Spirit reveal his truth to us. Let's bow in prayer together. Our Father, we come before your presence and we ask that, Lord, you would do a work that only you can do. Help us, Lord, to understand these verses that we've read, that we've studied. Lord, may we understand them not just in an academic way or a mental way, but Lord, may we understand their implications and what it means for our lives. Lord, may your Spirit open our eyes and help us to understand these truths in a spiritual way and in an eternally significant way. And Lord, if there's someone here in this room that is self-deceived and they think that they're in fellowship with you, but maybe they're not, Lord, I pray that you would open their eyes and Lord, truly draw them to yourself. Lord, do your work of grace in our hearts. We pray in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.